Who? When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is this, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. God will bless that reading of his word to us. I titled the message, Life. Life. It's interesting that James asked the question, what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. But I want us today to think about life. We all experience life. We have been born into this world and we have life. From our first breath, we have life. And that is wonderful. We are blessed. We're here today because we have life. And sadly, in that situation, when God created the world and he saw that it was very good. But sadly, in the book of Genesis, we read the account of what happened. And I mentioned about the deceit, the deceivers, the deceiver. And as a result of Adam and Eve's failure, sin has been part of our lives. In sin did my mother conceive me, said the psalmist. So we have life, but the life that we have is flawed. The life we have is the physical life that we have. We need to understand. The people that were following Jesus had just been fed. He had fed 5,000. If you read earlier, you would have seen the account of how he fed 5,000 with young boys, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And he had left them and he'd gone to the other side of the lake. And here they were looking for Jesus. And he is saying to them, you know, why are you looking for me? You know, the reason you're looking for me is because you were fed. You had your fill. The You see, there are many people today who are trying to live life. But sadly, life is flawed. And the Bible describes the life that we have, that we are born with. It says quite clearly that all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. And also the Apostle Paul says the wages of sin is death. And when we read in Romans 5, he says that death passed upon all men because of the sin of one. And we all have to face death sometime. So life is just a span. And Jesus is here reminding them, because they were remembering the way in which Moses had provided bread from heaven. He saw their thoughts. The food that they were provided for on the journey through the wilderness was manna, which God sent, not Moses, God sent from heaven. It was for their physical needs. We all have physical needs, and those physical needs have to be met. But Jesus wants the people to understand something very clearly, and that is something different. He talks about life. In another place he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus wanted the people to understand the purpose of him coming into this world. He came that we might have life. Well, we already have life, you say. Yes, that's right. We already have life. But Jesus came that we might have eternal life. The way in which it's qualified is described as eternal life, everlasting life, new life. And it's talked about as from a new birth, a new beginning. You see, the realization is this, that the manna came from heaven to provide for the physical needs. But God saw the spiritual needs of mankind, of humankind, and sent his Son into the world that we might have life. And that life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. We need to understand the reality of the life that Jesus came to give to us. It is eternal life. When we think about bread, bread was the sustenance, was something that was a basic part of food in order to survive, in order to live. And Jesus uses that picture of bread. That which we need to live, we need to have Jesus in order to have that life. We need to feed upon him. We need to take of him. We have taken bread and we've taken the cup today. But those are just pictures of something which already should have taken place in our lives before we come to the table. And that is that we have taken Jesus to be our Savior. We've accepted he died on the cross for us, that he died and paid the penalty for our sin through his death on the cross. His blood was shed that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might have a new beginning and a new life that he gives to us. Jesus said, for my Father's will is this, that everyone looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, we need to take Jesus. He needs to be part of us. Just as food is very much a part, becomes a part of us, we take food, meals that we have, and sometimes, you know, some people have had it where they've not had much food, And sometimes the history of what has taken place, there is always that fear that they'll be without food again. And Jesus said this, we need to take food in order to live. In order to have eternal life, we need to take food. We need to feed on Jesus. We need to see him and accept him into our lives. He fills us with his Spirit. We feed upon him. He says, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Maybe it's difficult to understand, but he's talking about something which is spiritual. He's talking not, we can understand some things in terms of our physical needs, but you know, we are more than physical beings, we are spiritual beings, and there is a need within us that has to be met. And the way in which that need can be satisfied is not in wealth or riches or in achieving, but it is in knowing Christ as Savior. Knowing him and accepting him. We need to have life. And we need to have Jesus in our lives. We need sustenance, and the sustenance, spiritual sustenance we can have is only through him. We come to God through the Father. We come to the Father through Jesus. He is the only way that we can come to Almighty God. There is no other way. There are many people today who are deceiving and saying you can come to God this way or that way or the other. And there are many, as I talked some weeks ago about the way in which meditation is an important part of life for many people, but they're heading in the wrong direction. Our meditation must be upon him. We need Jesus in our lives. We need to have life that he gives to us. It's a spiritual life. It is. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. He's looking at the cross and seeing that Jesus died on that cross, and he is saying, I have been crucified with him. In other words, my sins were there on the cross with him. He took my sins for me. And so I have been crucified with Christ. He says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Get this. In Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is explaining this. Jesus being in us. He said, I am being crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith. By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's where we need to understand. We need to identify as the Apostle Paul could. I have been crucified with Christ. Put to death that old nature and in its place let God fill us. Let Jesus fill us with his Spirit. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You see, the Apostle Paul is bringing this picture of life. Life through Jesus, knowing his presence in our lives. He gives to us life, eternal life, a quality of life where we need not fear anymore. If God be for us, who can be against us, says the Apostle Paul. But Paul realizes in his own life that there is need always to come back, to feed on the living word, to feed on the word of God. Jesus is that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the one who is, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, we need to experience his life in us. We need that. Because of ourselves, we are sinners and we are prone to sin. We are prone to wander away. But in reality, when we know that he is part of our lives, he is our life, it makes a difference. The Apostle Paul said again in another place, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You see, Jesus came that we might have life. We need to take him to be our Savior. And when we take him to be our Savior, he comes to live within us by his Spirit. If we've not experienced that, then we are not his. We need to experience that indwelling of his Holy Spirit. We need to take him, eat of him, invite him to take control of our lives. He has promised that he will raise us up at the last day. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. You know, the reality is that we need Jesus in our lives. Please, please, don't try and live your life without him. You know, Jesus came into the world and was born in Bethlehem, which is a house of bread. He came to meet our spiritual needs. There's much talked about spirituality these days. We need Jesus. We need him to satisfy us. We need to have that assurance of his presence within us. We need to have and show through our lives the fruit of the Holy Spirit as he takes control of us. You know, the musical instrument that I played today is, let me just show you. I've used this as an illustration before here, but I can just press these notes and there's nothing there. Okay, and that's the way many people are. Without Christ, they're like that. There's no sound, there's nothing coming out of them. There's no life in them. But when we invite him into our lives, then there's a change. You know, it's talked about, the Holy Spirit is talked about as the wind. Jesus, when he talked to Nicodemus, said the wind. You know, when we put the wind in, it makes a difference. There's life. When the Spirit comes into us, then we come alive. We are alive to God through Christ. He loves us. You know, money can buy you a house, but not a home. Can buy you an education, but not wisdom. Can buy you a bed, but not restful sleep. Money can buy you influence, but not respect. It can buy you medicine, but not health. A spouse, but not love. Quiet, but not tranquility. You know, what we need is not money. What we need is Jesus. What we need is him in our lives. It's not the things of this world that will satisfy. It's knowing him and being open to him and moving in his direction. You know, it really does It is something that you need to experience in order to live life, the life that Jesus came to give. Somebody said this, as a new Christian, I presume Jesus' main job was taking care of me. He led me to a job, roommates to share, apartment costs, and a car that ran. But after a while, my tastes got fussier, like the Israelites waking up to manna every morning. I was tired of the same old, same old. I wanted a home with more privacy, a more interesting yet less stressful job, a shinier new car. My list continued to grow. I wanted Jesus to perk me up when I was down, remove my difficulties, and make living a whole lot easier. When those things didn't come, I felt as if Jesus had walked away from me. What I didn't realize was that he had put loving distance between us, just as he did with the crowd that night, knowing that they wanted to force him to be king. For me and for them, it took a stormy night to point out why those expectations were off base. You see, sometimes it does take a storm to realize
that we need him.
That we need him in our lives. Sometimes he brings us to the point where we know we can turn nowhere else but to him. Jesus is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am. You need to take me. Eat of me. Drink of me. I hope that each one of us will learn what it is to have the life that Jesus came to give. I hope that each one of us, as we live our lives, experience that joy that he gives to us. Yes, there are sad times. Yes, there are difficult times. But knowing Jesus, knowing him, makes all the difference. My prayer is that each one of us will learn what it is to feed upon him. You know, we feed our minds with all kinds of stuff. And I know that it does impact our lives. But if only we could feed ourselves more. As I've mentioned once before here, or maybe a few times before, in Wales in 1904, God moved in a powerful way in that land. As lives were transformed, as people fed upon the Word of God, and they fed upon Jesus, they took him to be their Savior. Their lives were transformed. Courts were shut down because there was no more crime. It was only for a period of time before people turned away. But what was happening was that people were taken up. Churches were packed. People were on the streets. They were all wanting to be in the presence of God. His glory came down, and glory came down, and glory filled my soul. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul, the words of the hymn says. And people's lives were transformed as they fed upon the living Word. May we recognize that Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and is ascended, and is one day coming again to take us to be with him. Life? What is your life? Is Jesus your life? If he is, you'll find a difference if you continue to feed upon him. Oh yes, there are things that occupy our minds during the week legitimately. But don't lose sight of Jesus. Realize that he is with you. I could share with you many incidents that have occurred. I know that God gives us opportunities. Don't miss those opportunities to share his love with others. We're going to sing a hymn of commitment as we sing our final hymn, 455. 466, sorry. Thank you. 466, not 455. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord. Take God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that we might feed upon the living word, that we might know that we have eternal life as we take Jesus to be our Savior. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help us to move as you move us. Take control of our lives and encourage us in the days that lie ahead. Help us to be good witnesses for you, good ambassadors for you. And Lord, help us to lean upon you, to feed upon you, to learn more of you. More about Jesus would I know, more of his love for others show. Lord, help us, we pray. We give you thanks for this time that we've sat around your table, that we have been together. Lord, encourage us and bless us as we go. May we go knowing the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.